Hallelujah. Oh, let us celebrate the love of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God. And there's no greater love than the love of God. Amen, amen. You please remain standing. Let us turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Kings. When you locate 1 Kings chapter 18, would you please say amen? Let us remain standing for the reading of the word tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll read several verses there, but I had in mind to read probably 10 at least, but for the sake of time, we'll cut some out. However, I will cover most of them in the lesson tonight. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then," everybody say that with me, "then the fire of the Lord fell." Let's say that together. "Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there." If you would, please place your Bibles beside you this evening, and let us go to the Lord one more time and ask his blessings and his revelation, his power upon us tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this congregation of people. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that they are here tonight. I ask, Lord, now that you would prepare every heart, every mind, every life, every soul, every human being, Lord, to perform the work of the Lord in their hearts right now. I pray now in Jesus' name that our spiritual posture would be that of a readiness and an expectancy, an acceptance to what you desire in this place tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would permeate the darkness, move upon every mind, every heart, and every life with revelation, truth, power, glory, and of the gospel. Lord, anoint me to speak and to preach in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? All over this sanctuary, would you praise him? Would you love him? Would you exalt him? Would you prepare yourself to receive the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. You may be seated. This text reveals a time in the history that a drought had been in the land for the space of 3 years. In the time of the history of Israel, there was a certain condition, spiritual climatization. There was no rain, no fresh drops of water falling down upon the livestock, no rain coming down from the land, upon the land or the crops, no fresh rain falling and flowing into the streams and rivers and from the mountains to the valleys. Just a dry, parched, dreary land with no fresh scent in the earth, no good breeze blowing that promised freshness and newness. It was just a dry, parched, dreary day after another dreary day after another. No flowers and no blooms. Perhaps people explained to visitors of their city like this. You see that place over there? That used to be a beautiful vineyard, but now it's just a dried up bunch of twigs. You see that place over there? You wouldn't know it now, but that used to be a river. But now it's just an indention in the ground. You see that place over there? That used to be a beautiful place, flourishing with beautiful greenery, life, and vegetation. But now, since there hasn't been any rain, it's dried, died, and gone away. Sin and disobedience brought on the drought in Israel. Drought is a sign that God is displeased with the lives of the people. Rain is a type and a symbol of God's blessings. The fire that we read about in our text verse tonight is a typology. It's a symbol that of the Holy Ghost, of the power of God. So when God's people are no longer suitable, they're no longer suitable receptacles, if you will, of the blessings of God spiritually, then God withdraws himself from them, and there's no spiritual rain. There's no Holy Ghost fire falling. There's no rivers of joy flowing. There's no wells springing forth. It's all dry. It's just memories of where it used to happen. It's just memories of how it was, but now it's all gone. And they become like Israel became in this Old Testament text. It's where it once was. When we are no longer passionate for Jesus and for his fresh flowing anointing, we begin to dry up. Then the Lord withholds his spiritual rain, and we become a weary, parched, dry place. We become like clouds without water. So dry weather and desert places are symbolic to individuals and are complete churches that have dried up spiritually. No more faith, no more vision, no more joy, no more expectation, no more believing that God will do it again. They may still confess to be Christians. They may still confess to have Jesus. But no evidence is present. No water is flowing. There's no well springing up. There's no joy, no peace, no power, no revival, and no prayer. We may call ourselves a well, but what good is a well if it has no water? Let us visit the prayer meeting of a few rainmakers. Now, for a moment, I want to qualify what I'm doing so that everybody can follow me. Tonight, I'm preaching a message simply entitled, Positioned for Revival. Would you say that with me? Positioned for Revival. Would you bump your neighbor and say, let's position for revival together. Now bump your other neighbor and say, now let us position ourselves for revival together. Now just say it. Now come on, let us do this together. Now together as a church, we must position ourselves. But if you cannot rally any troops, if you cannot get your neighbor beside you to join you, you're going to have to go ahead and say, I'm going to do it by myself. Are you with me right now? Elijah stood there in the face of all of the false prophets. He stood there with Jezebel looking straight at him. He stood there with the kingdom poised against him. He stood there with all of this host and army of false prophets looking at him. And all by himself, he said, I'm going to have revival. All by himself, I'm going to pull rain. I'm going to pull fire. Fire's going to rain down from heaven, and I'm going to have revival. And everybody else is just going to watch it. I wish somebody just go ahead and reach up right now and get a hold of what you're needing. Come on now, rake it around and get a hold to it and get a feel of it and say, I'm going to pull it down and put it where it goes on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week. With my job and my crazy life going on, I'm just going to pause in the middle of the week. And I'm going to say, you know what? It just doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what hell's been saying. I'm going to have revival. Oh, would you praise the Lord right now? Would you bless the name of Jesus? Now let us go on a field trip, if you will, and we're gonna watch a few men that know how to have revival. We're gonna visit a few of their prayer meetings, and we're gonna peek in and see what it takes and who it is that can have revival when nobody else is really wanting it. And so I call these revivalists, I call these revivalists rainmakers. I call Elijah a man that can make fire rain down from heaven. I call him a rainmaker. I call these men also revival makers. So rainmakers and revival makers, that's the same thing when you hear me say that. But tonight I want us to understand that if we're going to have revival, we got to be positioned for it. Now, if I were to tell you that these men are the fastest runners in the world, you might be skeptical. And as long as they're setting like they're setting, you'd feel quite sure that you're correct. But if one of them ever really took the position, you'd be more likely to say, we got to see this. Maybe there is something to it. You see, the position means something. The position tells you something. The position begins to grip your attention and you say, well, maybe it is that. And so as long as they're setting like that, it doesn't matter. It could be a professional runner in the group, but as long as he's setting like these men are setting, you say, well, I really don't know. But when all of a sudden you see that professional get in that position, you would recognize and say, maybe he is the runner they say he is. Maybe he is the champion, because he can sure take the position of a champion. And so tonight we're going to go on a field trip, and we're going to pay close attention to the position. Everybody say, the position. We're going to pay close attention to the positions of the professionals. We're going to pay close attention to the spiritual posture and the position of the real rainmakers. And so let us visit a few prayer meetings found in Scripture that is responsible for making spiritual rain. Let us stop by this spiritual address, Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1. Let us pull in here and let us get out of the church bus and wander in. And we're gonna put our ear to the door and we're gonna hear the words, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Posture. The posture of a thirsty man. Where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In other words, oh God, my God, I've seen you in action before, and my life, my soul longs with a great thirst to see it all over again. Oh, come on now. Does your praise in the sanctuary, does your posture in the prayer meeting say, I'm longing to see it all over again? Can anybody bless the name of the Lord tonight? Oh, is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight on a Wednesday night that takes the posture and where the Lord can look down and say, look at there, that's a man that's ready to run. That's a woman that's ready to have a move of God. Oh, I know it's a Wednesday night, but I feel like I'm doing what God told me to do on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week. Let us kind of shake the chains off and let us put our ear to the ground and hear. Can you clap your hands? While we're at Psalm 63 and 1, take a moment to notice this rainmaker's spiritual posture. He takes time to properly position himself before the Lord so he can be found as a suitable receptacle. Everybody say a suitable receptacle of the rain of God's Spirit. So, this rainmaker fully acknowledged that God is his master. Then this rainmaker said, I am going to seek you first. He said early, not later. I'm going to seek you early. I'm going to seek my master early. Why is he going to seek him early? Because he had a heart. That's what our scriptures say. I'm paraphrasing. He had a heart and soul that was thirsty for his master. We often mention revival, but our mentioning and our idle talk doesn't reflect a true, genuine thirst for revival. He had a heart and soul that was thirsty for his master. Even his flesh, the Bible said, longeth for fellowship with his master. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, have we fulfilled this particular address? Some of you's probably already loaded back on the church bus and said, I'm ready to go to the next spot. But 63 and 1 is already telling us that there's some things we haven't fulfilled yet. If we really want revival, when we get back and we make our field trip all the way back to our little church in Mount Pisgah, Mississippi, we're going to have to realize that all of these little nuggets and all of these little jewels is things that we've got to bring back to the house of God and put them in order in our life. Then the revival will come. Somebody gather up the nuggets and say, I'm positioning for revival. This is a picture at Psalm 63 and 1. This is a picture of a rainmaker's prayer meeting. Have you had a rainmaker's prayer meeting lately? Let us visit another rainmaker's prayer meeting in Psalms 143 and 6. I stretch forth my hands. Why don't you lift your hands? How long it's been since you just freely lifted your hands in the sanctuary? Oh, come on now. Don't be quick. Get a feel of that. I stretch forth my hands up unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Come on now. Why don't you go ahead and stretch your hands out one more time? I'm going to have to speed up in a minute, but we're taking some time. Stretch your hands out and read that with your hands up. Read it like you're preaching. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. I don't hear anybody. You know why that's a little awkward? Because it's not done often. Are you? Oh, I forgot to pass out the Band-Aids. Church, you know I love you. And I don't want to damage you or anything. But you know, a body that is sort of in a restful position gets real grumpy when you say, come on, get out of bed. It's time to go. You see, when we allow lethargic, spiritual lethargic personalities and attitudes to slip into our life. We just want to stay tucked in bed. And when I come along and say, lift your hands, stretch out your arms, when I come along and say, read that scripture out loud like you're preaching, all that's uncomfortable to do when you're in a comfortable position. But when you're thirsty, I said, when you're thirsty, when you're dry and parched, when you're desperate, you'll reach, you'll stretch, you'll seek. Oh, come on. Is there any apostolics in this place tonight? Is there any one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking people in this place tonight? Is there anybody under the sound of thy voice tonight that is hungry and that is thirsty and that wants revival? Could you clap your hands? Mount Pisgah, notice again the posture. He stretches forth his hands to reach the Lord. A man that wants revival, a man that is thirsty, he'll reach his hands out in a dry, parched place. A dry, parched place, spiritually speaking, is full of people that says, I'm satisfied. I've got religion and that's all I need. There hasn't been no outpouring. I haven't run the aisle. I haven't had a good prayer meeting. I haven't spoken tongues. I haven't trusted God for anything, but I'm satisfied. That's a dry, parched place. And a man in the middle of a surrounding situation, he becomes hungry. He becomes thirsty. He becomes uncomfortable in that atmosphere. And with everybody watching, he stretches forth his hands to reach the Lord. Revival makers desire to reach out to make a connection, but they are motivated by a thirst for more of God. They are motivated by a thirst that drives them beyond all the eyes that are watching. They are motivated by a thirst that drives them beyond all the negative opinions and attitudes. They are motivated by a thirst that says, I must see him. I must have him. I must experience the rain. Somebody say positioned. For a revival. Rainmakers are not gossipers. They are not people who focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. They're not people who focus on what's against them rather than who it is for them. They don't talk about what is wrong. They are not tour guides of where it once was. They are not people who parade around pointing to the past, says, that's it. We used to have it. We used to have it. We used to have it. They are not guides of where it once was. They don't just adjust to the new normal. Rainmakers don't adjust to the new normal. Real rainmakers go and reposition themselves. Real rainmakers revisit the altar. Real rainmakers go and shut themselves in with God, and they reposition themselves to be suitable receptacles for the supernatural. Real rainmakers don't just say, well, everything else is wrong and I'm the only one that's right. Real rainmakers go and have their own prayer meeting, and real rainmakers go and they look at themselves and say, God, I'm not going to assume that I'm okay. I'm going to lay myself on the altar, and I want you to go through my soul, and I must be made into the image of revival. Oh, come on. It's a little bit lethargic in here tonight. Oh, one God, Jesus name people. They need to be constantly looking at themselves and saying, do I have the right posture to be a rainmaker? Do I have the right posture to be a part of revival in the end time? Am I taking on the right posture to win a soul, to change my world, and to turn this community upside down? Oh, I wish somebody could clap their hands in the middle of the week. This apostolic message is to seep down into the souls of men and women and reformat our thinking and reposition our souls and prepare us for the supernatural. Real rainmakers go and position themselves. They realign themselves. Everybody say realignment. They realign themselves in perfect spiritual posture. In order to do that, it takes a thirsty heart. In order to do that, it takes a hungry soul. In order to do that, it takes a person that is so hungry and so thirsty that it goes beyond their comfort zone. It pulls them out of their spiritual lethargic state and drags them to the throne of God. Do you have a hunger that'll move you tonight? Do you have a thirst that'll move you tonight? Oh, come on. Is there anybody in here that really wants to see revival? A lot of people who clap for that statement, they're clapping because they want to see it around them. But can you clap because you want to see it in you? Real rainmakers get up from those rain-making prayer meetings and talk like Isaiah talked. Rainmakers talk a certain way. Rainmakers don't just talk any kind of way. I can move amongst a crowd and I can listen and hear the words of a rainmaker. I don't have to know them. Nobody has to be introduced them to me. I recognize the words of a rainmaker. An idle Christian will gossip. An idle Christian will not control their tongue. But a rainmaker is a person who has disciplined their tongue. A rainmaker is a person who has disciplined their mind. A rainmaker is a person who has disciplined their soul. A rainmaker is a person who has disciplined their heart. And a rainmaker has pulled in themselves. They're not all over the place. They pull themselves into a certain posture and a position that God is not confused about what they're after. We okay? I'd rather preach all the time of messages that makes you happy and clappy and run the aisle. But a man of God is not a man of God if he doesn't preach a message that when you use it, it will save you. I am trying to preach messages to this church that when you obey them and follow them, they will produce soul winners, and they will produce what God is looking for in your life. Real rainmakers get up from the prayer meeting, and they begin to talk a certain way. They talk like Isaiah talked. In Isaiah 35 and 7, "And the parched ground shall become a pool." Everybody read that with me. "And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons," hear that, "in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." In other words, this rainmaker, he goes around and he's speaking to people. He's an encourager. Everybody say he's an encourager. The rainmaker is a prophet, so to speak. And the rainmaker is an encourager. And the rainmaker is saying, you don't have to let the demons live in your life. You don't have to let the dragons control your life. You don't have to let the ways be parched. All you got to do is kick worldliness out and let holiness in, and your whole world's going to change. People don't like that. They like to have their revival and their worldliness. But there is a highway. Everybody do your hand like this. There is a highway. Not a low way. Not a worldly way. But there is a highway. Everybody say, no, that means a heavenly way. You see, there is a heavenly way that's going to cast the dragons out of your life. There's a heavenly way that's going to take that dry part soul and turn it into a beautiful pool of water. Everybody getting that? You see, a rainmaker will look at a situation right now that is dry and parched and chaotic and messed up, and he'll begin to prophesy, and he'll begin to tell what it's going to be. You know where that rainmaker learned that from? He learned that from Genesis 1 and 1. He learned it from the master. You got it? That's what God did. He comes to a chaotic, void, messed up, dark place that Satan ruined and fouled up. And God just begins to speak. "Let there be light." And there was light. "Let it be a moon, let it be a sun, let it be this, let it be that," and on and on and on. "Let it be trees here, water there." And he just prophetically speaking, and all of the spirits of the darkness and all the spirits of chaos has to jump out of the picture. Because the rainmaker's word doesn't include the dragon. It doesn't include the dry spot. It doesn't include all of the... He includes the supernatural. And the darkness has to run. I've got to hurry, but I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. In 2015, it's time for the church, it's time for the people to come out of a spiritual lethargic position and position themselves for the revival we've been talking about. It's time to position ourselves for the revival that we've been looking for. It's time to position ourselves for the revival we've been telling people about. It's time to position ourselves. And rainmakers go ahead and say, you know what? It may look bad now, but you just wait. The power of God is flowing. The supernatural anointing is coming. Oh, somebody help me tonight. You can look at this and look at that and just go ahead and say, you know what, dragons? You know what, spirit of darkness? You're coming out in Jesus' name, because my God is coming with great power. He's coming with rain from above. He prophesied to the thirsty land, saying, you will become a spring of water. The rainmaker takes it up a notch and says, where these dragons once laid, tender grass and flowers will begin to grow. In other words, new babes, where the dragons once stamped out revival and nobody was being born into the church, no new converts, and nobody being trained up and discipled up, where the spirits of the dragons had killed and trampled and destroyed all of that potential. The rainmaker's prophetic word says this dragon's leaving this garden, and beautiful tender grass and blooms are coming. I may lose some of you, and it may get a little harder to preach, but I want you to know right now, some of you need to look in your life, and you need to look around, and you need to see the pool that could be. You need to see the river of water that could be. You need to see the fresh rain of falling that could be. You need to go ahead and see the tender grass and the beautiful blooms that could be. Are you getting me? You understand? And that old dragon of doubt and unbelief and lethargic attitudes and perspectives, you need to grab that beast in the name of Jesus and say, you don't belong here anymore. I don't want you in my life in the name of Jesus. I don't want to think like a loser. I don't want to think like a spiritual poverty-stricken person. I don't want to think like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want the low road. I want the high road. So I got to kick the dragon out. If I'm going to get the tender grass of God, if I'm going to get the newness and the freshness of the Holy Ghost back in my life, I got to get rid of the dragon. The things that are trampling on your promises, the things that are trampling on your revival, the things that are trampling on your move of God, you need to get it out right now in the name of Jesus and say, I'm making a place. I'm positioning my life for a miracle. Can you clap your hands again? Isaiah reveals the way to the rain. Isaiah shows us how to break the drought. We might make all kinds of excuses as the way we are not as to why we're not experiencing revival, but Isaiah just called it like it was. He said that in order for our desert to bloom again, in order for the dragons to get gone, we're going to need to build a highway of holiness in our life again. Worldliness will quench the fire. Worldliness will stop up the heavens. Worldliness will dry up the well. Worldliness will quench the prayer meetings. But for the rain to come again, we got to get a hold of the highway. And the highway will bring the rain again. It'll bring the fire from heaven again. The highway will cast out the dragons and renew the grass and the blooms again. Anybody getting anything tonight? One more time, let us visit another rain-making prayer meeting. In Psalms 42, 1 through 12, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When, everybody say when. When shall I come and appear before God? Every time before the rain that God sends, there must be a thirsty, parched soul that says, give me rain. There's nothing more that I want than the rain that falls from heaven. Notice the connotation here. Souls that are truly thirsty for Jesus are also ready to go appear before Him. The Lord sent a bus driver, pulled up in front of the church. He walked in and he said, who's ready to take a trip now? All of a sudden, going to work tomorrow wouldn't look so bad to some of us. because we are orientated in a earthly direction instead of a heavenly direction. We have things built into our life that makes us have a greater incentive to focus here a little while longer than to terminate it here and go on there. Worldliness will do that. Sometimes you look around and say, I don't see no worldliness. That's because we renamed it. Is this too tough? Church, I really do. I love you. If I did not love you, I wouldn't preach stuff like this. Do you know, when we get so comfortable with religion and we've lost a relationship, we'll begin to condone pets. We'll begin to adopt pets. We'll say, well, that dragon can't stay in the garden, but this dragon, it's so cute and cuddly. The dragon of alcoholism, oh, that's nasty. We got to get rid of that one. The dragon of cigarettes addiction, oh, that's nasty. We got to get rid of that one. The dragon of adultery and fornication, oh, we got to get rid of that. That's nasty. But the dragon of gossip, oh, that's cute. I like that one. And we'll stand up. I've watched gossipers stand up and tell cigarette smokers they need to change. They don't have the power to break the gossip addiction. They can't help a cigarette smoker break a nicotine addiction. But they don't view gossip as something that'll take them to hell. It's quiet. Let's don't get sloppy in 2015. Jesus is about to come. We need to break all worldly addictions. We need to break all ungodly addictions. If you got a habit, try to visualize it walking down the streets of heaven and Jesus not throwing it out. If you can think about that habit walking through the streets of glory and Jesus not casting it out of heaven, then maybe you don't have to worry about casting it out of your life. I knew it would get quiet. I've got to hurry. But rainmakers have a certain posture about them that tells God that we are receptacles. We are ready people. We are ready people to be filled with the supernatural power of God. We are ready for the rain. We are ready for the miracles, signs, and wonders. We are like deer that panteth after the water brooks. We are hungry. We are thirsty. And we are posturing ourselves. We are positioning ourselves for the supernatural in our life. Let us take a good look at our verses to find a consistency with the other revival makers. In 1 Kings 18 and 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear that very close. This place is God. Listen to the positioning here. This place is God in his rightful position in the prophet's life. Then Elijah, after he positions God where God belongs in his life, then Elijah makes it clear that he has obeyed all of the word of God. Everybody got that real good? Elijah says, okay, I'm going to put you where you go. You're the greatest. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're everything that I worship, and then I am the servant that has obeyed all of your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now the prophet is praying for spiritual awakening. That is the will of God, that a church who has obeyed the word of God and who has positioned God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to humble themselves and pray with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength for the lost around them. That grabs the mind and the attention of the Lord, and he is ready to do something. When Elijah positioned God as king and he positioned himself as a servant that has obeyed all of the word, everybody say then. Verse 38, say then. I'm going to ask you again, say then. The fire of the Lord fell, not before. When Elijah put God up there where he goes, he says, I know that you are God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. I find it interesting that he didn't say Jacob. He didn't say you're the God of the supplanter, of the deceiver. He said you're the God that's so awesome that you can take a supplanter and a deceiver and turn him into a man and call him Israel. Are you with me? That's what Elijah was saying. And he says, now that's who you are. And I am just a servant that obeys all of your word, not the parts that I like. I obey all of it, God. And now I need some help. I need you to open the eyes of these people. I need you to show them that you're the one to serve. And everybody say, then. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. When revival comes, Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, we are supposed to have a conviction down deep in our soul. When we have revival going on in our life and in our home and in our church, we got a conviction in our life that says no dragons allowed. I've got to pull all these false prophets and these false influences off my life. I got to get every one of them out of my ears, out of my heart, out of my life. I got to gather up all the false prophets and I got to bring them out to a place and slew them, because there is no room for false prophets and worldliness and ungodliness in the reign that God's going to send. Will somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? Will somebody praise him? Say it again. Positioned for revival. In John 7:37, we come into the New Testament. In the last day, everybody say the last day. Now say, that's us. In the last day, that's us. In the last day. In the last day. That great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Did that ring a bell? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you see a connection? Elijah needed rain to come down from heaven. He needed fire to rain down. And he says, your God, I'm a servant that obeys all of the word. And Jesus says, if you're in a dry place, if your prayer meetings don't go anywhere, if you're not having a move of God, if you're not having revival, if you're not having a renewed spirit and the glory of God's not flowing in your life, if you're living in a parched place, believe on me and obey all of the scripture like it says to do, and then out of your belly. Come on now, out of your belly
shall flow rivers of living water. I don't have time to finish tonight, but is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight that wants the water to flow? Anybody want the rain to come? Anybody need a change in your home, in your life, in your walk with God? If you want it, you got to be a rainmaker. If you want it, you got to be a rainmaker. Would you stand to your feet all over this place? Would you lift your heads? Would you stretch? Would you shout it at me? Lord, I want to be a rainmaker. Mount Pisgah, position yourself. Begin to talk like a rainmaker. Live like a rainmaker. Love your neighbor like a rainmaker. Be a soul winner like a rainmaker. Be a prophet like a rainmaker. Obey the scripture. Not part of it, not some of it, but all of it, like a rainmaker. Let God be God of all of your life, like a rainmaker. And the fire will come. The river will flow again. The well will spring up. And where the dragons used to be in your life, the beautiful tender blooms of the Lord will come again. Does anybody want it? Will anybody shout at me and say, I want it! I want it, Jesus! For our new converts that don't really know what I'm talking about yet, a good place for you to start would be like Peter taught. They said, what shall we do, Peter? And he said, this is a good place for you to start. Repent. In other words, refrain from worldliness and turn to Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Saints of God, all you have to do tonight is repent from having dragons in your garden. All you got to do is repent from not having them rain-making prayer meetings anymore. Repent for having dry pools in your land. Repent for having dry wells and crushed dreams because the dragons are laying on them. Come on now. The altars are open. And the sinners and the saints can come together and say, let us go position ourselves for the revival that's going to change our soul. That's going to change our life. It's going to change our community. It's going to save our children. And it's going to bring refreshing to our land. The altars are open. Would you come? The altars are open. Would you come? Would you step out? Would you make a way where there seems no way? Would you just come on down? Would you pull your lethargic self out of that comfort zone and say, it's time for a drink? It's time for a drink. It's time for a drink. It's time for a drink. It's time. It's time to make some rain, church. It's time.
Let it rain.
It's time to make some rain.
Spirit, now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Yeah.
Come on, church, tap in. Tap in. Throw the dragons out. Prophesy to the dry places. Make the connection. Put yourself in that posture. Be a receptacle that Jesus can feel with the waters of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's going to work on being a rainmaker? Who's going to work on it? Who's going to try for it? Who's going to become a rainmaker? In the name of Jesus. Let's be a rainmaker. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the bus pulls in. We step back to reality. And we've learned from the best in the Word of God. Learn from the ones that did it. But now we're back to Mount Pisgah. And we step into the reality of southern Mississippi, where we live. But that really doesn't change anything. All we got to do is have the posture of a rainmaker. All we got to do is have the prophetic faith of a rainmaker. That's all we got to do. When you put your hand on that car door, say, "Hey, old me, get out, because a new me's coming in." You put your hand on that doorknob at that house tonight, open that door, and say, "Old us, come on out of here, because the new us is coming in." The rainmakers is coming home. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for these beautiful, wonderful people that you've given me to pastor. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you cover them and watch over them. Lord, I pray now as we leave this building that we would grasp and get a hold of this message and posture ourselves with the prayer and the faith that is necessary to make the rain come. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we leave this building, I pray we would not leave the message. we would take that word and the prophetic with us, and we would let the rain come again. Lord, I pray now we would get the courage and the desire to change our lives and to change our routines and cast the dragons out so that the flowers can bloom again in our life. The promises of God can bloom again. Lord, as we go our ways, I pray that you would walk with us, talk with us, and bring us back tomorrow night for a mighty time of lessons and learning for revival. Bring us back Friday night for a mighty time of lessons of learning about revival. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray now you would watch over us and keep us. And though I pray, Lord, that we would not forget to bring guests with us Sunday morning, visitors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake.